It's time for Talking Automotive with VACC. Here's Dennis Walter with Jeff Gwillim, CEO of VACC.
And Jeff Gwillim here to take your calls, 96 900 693 or 13 13 32. Jeff, good evening.
Good evening, Dennis.
A couple of scenarios here. The police pull me over. My car's needs a roadworthy. Am I able to nick out and still get this done?
Look, Dennis, the reason this has come up is that a number of people are obviously concerned about driving around in their cars during the lockdown, particularly in Stage 4, Metropolitan Melbourne. You can still get a roadworthy done on your car if it's required. So if the police turn you over and put a canary on your windscreen, it'll tell you to go and get a roadworthy for a particular reason, or the transfer of a vehicle, you can get a roadworthy, and you can also get the work required on that roadworthy to bring your car up to spec done. And that's great, and I think that's good flexibility out of government, and it means that we don't have people driving around in unroadworthy vehicles.
Well, we don't.
Also, I should add, we've just moved in Victoria into an e-roadworthy system, so this whole thing's going online through Vic Roads. They've done a great job here, and the industry are now rolling out the new e-roadworthy system, electronic.
But that's still... Now, what happens? Fred Nurk, he's just got his car. He's been told he's got to get a roadworthy, but he's not allowed to travel more than 5Ks. Is this a bit of a conundrum?
So what under the COVID rules, if you can find somebody to fix something, in this case your car, within your 5 kilometre radius, that's what you need to stay in. But if that service isn't available in that 5 kilometres and you can't reasonably find that service, you're allowed to go further than that 5 kilometres. But that doesn't mean you should travel 200 kilometres. It means you should travel to the next available place to undertake that work outside the 5 kilometre radius.
And should you, Jeff, at that point, should you also document who you've rung, who you've had this conversation with within your own area, just so you've got something maybe to show to the police if they pull you over, and so you can just talk to them in a civil way?
Yeah, look, I think it's a really good idea, Dennis. You need to speak to the service centre anyway. They'll probably send somebody out to pick the car up at the moment anyway, or freight the car on a flatbed or tow it, depending on what's wrong with the car and what the notice is on the car, how long you've got to get that roadworthy done. But you're right. I've heard, I think it was 3OW actually, Dennis, this morning, somebody in Eltham was saying that the police were pulling people over at 4:30 this morning. Now, I'm not up at 4:30, but apparently they're out and they are asking people either for a permit, you know, what sort of permit have you got for using your vehicle to go to work, or, you know, what other reason have you got? And that's a great suggestion, actually, Dennis, a little bit of evidence. Just some notes scrabbled on the back of a bit of paper. I rang these two workshops and I'm going to this one, this is why, and this is the process for me to have a contactless delivery. So when I get there, am I going to put the keys in a box? How am I going to get back? You've got to think through all of this. We've got to make sure that we still have contactless communications between people.
Which is achievable. 96 900 693. Hello, Jeff.
Oh, good day there, Dennis and Jeff. On a similar vein, I've got a daughter's a nurse and she's doing a lot of running around there. She has the COVID testing in various places. Her car's overdue for a service. As an essential worker, can she still have that service done, or has she just basically bite her tongue and wait until we're out of this?
Look, Jeff, it's a really good question, and we're currently in discussions with government on this right up till 5 o'clock today, actually. At the moment, you can't provide a service on any vehicle, but you can maintain vehicles and you can undertake essential and critical repairs. So if a dash light comes on, if the brakes are spongy, if she thinks there's anything dangerous in that car that's essential or critical, she takes it to the mechanic. Technically, the mechanic can't actually undertake a logbook service as such, but they can maintain and provide repairs for anything that's essential or critical.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Jeff. Thank you. There's a bit of common sense with all this, isn't there, Jeff?
Yeah, there is a bit. I mean, we're trying to balance two things here. I mean, I'm representing a lot of people in the industry, and of course, you know, they'd love to have roadworthies and mechanics doing servicing tomorrow, and so would I. However, you know, we've got some constraints with government. We are in constant dialogue with them, and I'm trying to move the dial a little bit here. So if a mechanic's got a car in the workshop for an essential or critical repair, they can actually undertake the logbook service while it's there. But that's a discussion I've put to government and they're currently, you know, putting that through the machine. But we've just got to get... There's no point having a vehicle on a hoist in a workshop and there's a service due, a logbook service due on that vehicle, and the owner of the vehicle is told, well, if I can't do the service, you need to get that done in a month or two. That's just not going to work. So we're looking for a bit of flexibility here. I think the government can do it. Let's have a look.
And the government having to do a lot of things very much at short notice.
Yeah, look, I mean, and credit to them. I mean, look, they're trying hard. I mean, as people say every day of the week, you know, we haven't done this for over 100 years in terms of pandemic. But we do need some flexibility. The last thing I want to see is so many repair shops shut down that we actually don't have enough capability to keep essential workers and essential vehicles on the road. So, you know, I urge government to let enough slack here so that the industry can keep workshops open so that we can repair the essential vehicles as well.
And if cars do need to be repaired, whether it be brakes or whatever, they really need to still have that happen.
They do. Anything that's essential or critical in a car, brake lights, spongy brakes, things not working, anything that a consumer feels may endanger their life or their health, they need to call the garage or the dealership, work out how that vehicle is going to get collected, and they can get those repairs undertaken.
Airbags. Are there still people who have not bothered to have a look and see, and it's really, and I've done it, it would take you all of 7 minutes to check out whether your vehicle has a faulty airbag. Are there still piles of people who are not doing that?
There are. There's about 180,000 airbags or vehicles with airbags in 155,000 vehicles with 180,000 airbags in Australia that haven't been changed. More critically, there's about 1,500 what are called critical alpha airbags in cars in Australia. There's 400 in Victoria. Now, for me, these are detonators driving around with a person behind the wheel. And this is really important to your listeners, Dennis, that if you're driving around in one of these vehicles, and if you know, I guarantee, if you are, that the glove box will be stuffed full of recall notices from the ACCC and from the manufacturers and the dealers, that actually you're putting yourself or somebody else's life on the line here. There have been 29 deaths worldwide in 320 industries, and we've had a death here in Australia. You know, at the end of this year, the whole recall ends at the end of this year, and even now, you're going to have trouble getting a car re-registered if it's got faulty airbags in it. That's either the critical or the non-critical. Vic Roads and the different states around Australia will start to withhold the registration of those vehicles. So you have a vehicle that you can't use and you can't sell. And Dennis, the way you put it there, it takes 7 minutes. You can still get this done while we're in stage four restrictions. It's a critical issue on a vehicle. And the dealership will come and get the car. They'll get it to the dealership and get these airbags. It doesn't matter how old the car is. If it's registered, it needs to be switched over. And if it's unregistered, sitting in your back garden, and you think somebody's going to use that one day, you need to get that fixed or get rid of the vehicle because it's an incendiary device that can go pop.
And we are, from what you're saying, we are going to get to a point where it's going to become really difficult to get this addressed.
Oh, yeah, you won't get the car re-registered. So effectively, you'll be stuck with a car that nobody wants that you can't sell. We've done a good job. We've picked up about 90% of all cars in Australia have been recalled, and credit to the manufacturers here. You know, they've been to the outback, they've been to mountains, they've been everywhere, you know, trying to find and track down all of these cars. They've done a fantastic job. But even paddock bombs, you know, Dennis, these cars that, you know, you have up on the farm and you've got the back end of it hanging out and a couple of doors missing, that still may have one of these, particularly the alpha, the critical alpha airbags in it. There's about 5,000 what they call non-critical, but alpha airbags, but there's still 155,000 cars that have got to find their way to a dealership to get those airbags taken out and switched over.
Brad, good evening to you.
G'day, Dennis. G'day, Jeff. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate.
Yeah, just a 2018 Mitsubishi Triton 4x2 auto diesel.
Yeah, auto diesel, go on.
Yeah, it's got 54,000 k's on it. Very good thing.
Well,
Jeff's not really here to give advice on which cars to buy, but Jeff, do you have any particular knowledge on that particular vehicle?
Well, it sort of dropped in and out there a bit, but anything with 54,000 on it, if the price is right, and it's probably still got warranty on it as well. So, you know, people ask me a lot about cars, and my view is that you can spend a couple of hours on the internet. There's reviews everywhere, but if you're sitting it and you like it and it drives the way you want it to and it's safe, you buy the vehicle, get on with it. Life's too short to be spending 4 years trying to find a vehicle you like. So my advice would be, if you think it fits, buy it.
Just on that, Jeff, if someone is wanting to buy a vehicle, like what Brad's talking about, or if you're wanting to sell a vehicle, and it does come under that Takata airbag ruling, what's the situation there?
No vehicle should be sold. So in the trade, through licensed motor car traders, whether it's a dealership or a used car dealer, they cannot sell that car without making sure that those airbags have been turned over. And similarly, even with private sellers, and look, the market's a bit weaker there, but no vehicle should be exchanged. Even if you're buying a vehicle privately, ask, where's the... first of all, you can get it. You can go online yourself to the ACCC website. There's a website called Is My Airbag Safe, or another one called All Auto Recalls. Have a look at your vehicle, the vehicle you're going to buy, on those websites and check, is that vehicle up for a recall? Remember, you've got to do this work yourself. There's no point relying on the seller. If it's a private seller, they may not do the work. Make sure you talk to the seller. This car, has the airbags been changed over on this car? Show me the evidence, and, you know, I mean, it should get blocked at re-registration and roadworthy anyway, but do the homework yourself and make sure those airbags have been changed over.
Jeff Gwillim, always good to chat. Talk to you next Monday. CEO of the VACC, Jeff Gwillim, talking automotive.